So with the time change, it gets darker earlier. Yeah. Carrie said one time, she said, nothing good happens late at night in the dark. So when your teenagers say, no, let's don't go there. Anyway. Several years ago, in fact, Carrie was still living with us, so it's been a while ago. Several years ago, in the old house that we lived in, I had this wonderful man cave. I just loved it. It was like a dream come true. You know, I had an LED TV. I had two computers. You might ask, why did you have two computers? Well, don't ask. I had two computers. I had a refrigerator. It was my man cave. And I would stay up fairly late at night. Pam would usually be going to bed around 11. And I would stay up to 11, 11:30 in my man cave. And I had some buddies, different places around the world, Australia and New Orleans and one in Las Vegas. Anyway, people around the world that I talked to on the internet, you know. I was a gamer. We moved. I don't do that anymore. Life is tough. And so I had this incredible setup for myself and just enjoyed it. And so one night, I go bouncing in and everything's dark. But it's okay. You know, we end up living there 30 years, so I know the layout really well. The thing I forgot is that we had just purchased a new chair. And where I have to pass, I'll pass by that chair in the dark. The problem is it had an ottoman. And I forgot about that. So I'm just enjoying myself, you know, going, and just, you know, had a great evening, and I'm just going and flying through there, and I tripped on that ottoman. Now, being the athlete that I am, I didn't want to splat my face against the wall, and so I kind of pushed off as I'm going down. I pushed off and did a half of a flip, and I crashed my back against the wall, making this loud sound. Carrie comes out. She thought a plane went through into the house or something, you know. No, it was just Dad. You know, when you're in the dark, you don't see right, and you don't see everything. In fact, you can find yourself getting hurt when you're in the dark. And I don't know if you've ever experienced times when you've been in the dark physically where you could not see in front of you, your hand. There were times in forgive me for talking about Vietnam, but times in Vietnam that it was so dark in the jungle that you couldn't see your hand. But your ears heard everything, including things that weren't there. When you're in the dark, things are not right. But when you turn on the light, you can see, oh, there's the ottoman, you dummy. The title of the message is, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Simon and Garfunkel. Sounds of Silence. Yep. Hello, darkness. There are people who live in the dark and they don't even realize that they're blind. The Bible talks about that. And we're in the book of John as we're going to go through, I don't know how many chapters, we're just going to keep going on until I stop going on. And but we're going to read a little bit about Jesus being the light. And the wonderful, amazing thing about our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not a fairy tale, but it's reality. Our relationship with Jesus Christ and the story of Jesus Christ was there was truly a man who lived. But he wasn't just a man, he was God who became man. Who was God, the Bible said. We studied that last week. And so let me read the text here in John 1. I'll begin with 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I have in your notes there something that Napoleon, remember Napoleon, that name? And it was when he was in exile, a lot of people believe that he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior in a real way. And let me just read this quote, and it makes you think, well, man, the guy really did. Let me read it to you. I know men, and I tell you that Jesus is not a mere man. Everything in Christ astonishes me. His spirit overawes me, and he confounds me. Between him and whoever else is in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. He is truly a being by himself. One can absolutely find nowhere but in him alone the imitation for the example of his life. I search in vain in history to find a similar to Jesus Christ or anything which can approach the gospel. Neither history, nor humanity, nor ages, nor nature offer me anything which I'm able to compare it or to explain it. Here, everything is extraordinary. There's a man who came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and understood. And most of us here understand there's just something about Jesus that we get. In fact, when we talk about Jesus, there's something that enlightens us or uplifts us or strengthens us in our soul. Something that creates some emotion, even when we say the word Jesus. And there's times that you hear it when you're out there in the world and someone will use it in a vain way. I don't know about you, but when someone says Jesus Christ in a vain way, it just, my spirit falls. It just, And I don't have any condemnation toward me, just that, oh man, Jesus. I mean, when you say his name, Jesus, there's something that excites you or something that comes inside of you or something that you feel because your experience with Jesus Christ. More than just a story, but a reality. Why don't we just say Jesus? Let's say it together. Jesus. Let's say it again. Jesus. Let's say it again. Jesus. It just makes me want to pray. It makes me want to talk to him. It makes me want to tell him, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for the light that came on in my life when I was 12 years old. And as time went on, even more illumination and more understanding as time went on. And in my life, even as a preacher, I needed light. I need more light of Jesus because In the Bible, I had what you call dirty pages. If you're a Pentecostal, the dirty pages is Acts 2. Well, that wasn't my dirty page. I had many dirty pages. And dirty pages are the one that you read all the time. And you start getting the grease and the oil from your fingers, and it collects, and it gets dirty. Anybody have dirty pages? You ought to read the Bible more. I guess you can't get dirty pages on the phone, can you? It just doesn't work too well. But let me tell you my dirty pages. It was all the epistles, but not all the epistles. It was the back part of the epistles. It was the instruction in righteousness. It was the corrections of Paul to the churches. Those are my dirty pages, because I thought that those were the deep things of God. I thought that those were, as a pastor, I ought to live so that I could tell people what they're doing wrong and straighten them out. And baby, I had it down good. And I was a good guy who was telling people what they're doing wrong. And I'm still good at that from time to time. And those dirty pages, like Matthew or like Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, those pages were soily. Something happened, though, about 10 years ago. I really don't know the time. But many years ago, something happened to me. And I began to read the Gospels. Oh, I've read the Gospels many, many times. I've listened to sermons on the Gospels. But something happened. I started reading about Jesus Christ. I started reading about him and how he lived and what he did. And the Bible talks about, or John talks about, that this is the Word made flesh. This is God's spoken word. This is his revealing who he really is. And it changed my whole life. It changed how I view people. It changed how I view circumstances. It even changed how I view our government. Our government has no power compared to the power of Jesus Christ. Our government has no influence on the Christian compared to the influence that Jesus has on us. He became truly my light, my focus, the illumination that I walk by. And I begin to judge everything, even those dirty pages of Scripture, in light of who Jesus was and how he acted toward people. Changed everything for me. And John is trying to reveal this Jesus Christ to us and who he is. We studied that he was the one in the beginning who was creating. He was with God and he was God. He wasn't a figment of our imagination. He wasn't a fairy tale that someone made up, but he was truly God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And oh, I wanted to know him in that way like I'd never known him before. And it stirred something of his glory in my life. There in verse 5 it says, the light shines in darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. When I was reading that, I always go to different translations. I listened to other sermons and everyone says what that means, and this is what it means. When it says darkness has not overcome it, doesn't mean that darkness tried to overcome it. Now, you could, in one way, that Satan tried to tempt Jesus and his darkness tried to overcome the light. You could look at it that way, but that's not how everyone looks at it. This is how they look at it. And you have the definition, and you know, overcome it means to possess or obtain it. That the light could not be obtained or possessed by darkness. The light could not be obtained by a world. The light could not bring itself, or the world could not obtain the light. Did I say that wrong earlier? Okay. You can't decide one day, hey, I am going to walk in the light as Jesus is the light. You can't do that. And he goes on, he talks about that. In a few minutes, we'll talk about that. In 2 Corinthians 6:1, it says in the last part there, it says, Or what fellowship has light with darkness? They don't go together. The world who thinks they have light are living in darkness. The world out there, and I mean, that sounds kind of, if they hear me say that, that's kind of arrogant and proud of a Christian. And the world would say, look at us. Look at what we've done. Look at what we've created. Look at our accomplishments in the world. There was a time that you had to walk to get somewhere. And there was a time to get across the nation would take days and weeks. But now we can fly in hours. There was a time that we never thought that we would ever go to the moon, and someone walked on the moon. At least I believe they did. Unless you believe the conspiracy theory. And they would talk about the accomplishments that men have done, and on that level, yeah, you could say that. But in all the accomplishments of man, we still struggle with the same things of failure. The same things of the human personality that can't seem to get his act together. More people committing suicide. Immorality that is running rampant, and we say that it's okay, there's nothing wrong with the things we're doing, and yet we're seeing all kinds of psychological and mental illness in our culture and even around the world. The world is in darkness. Hello, darkness, my old friend. And in the darkness, they enjoy it. But Jesus came to be a light. Now, something that is very positive, something that is very good. And he brought good news. And he brought the gospel. Jesus was the light and the truth. And he died for our sins so that we could have a relationship with the Father. But a person on their own just deciding, I'm going to walk in the light, can't do it. In verse 6 through 8, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That was John the Baptist. And he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. So John the Baptist, and when you read scripture, you see, boy, he was being successful. There were people that were leaving their homes and going out into the hot wilderness to visit this guy who was preaching repentance and baptizing them. And there's a whole, and I'm going to go into that, the meaning of that, when we talk a little more about John in next week or a couple weeks. And what that meant, the baptism, because that was, they didn't do that kind of thing. What was that all about? And he bore witness of this light. And when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He recognized something about this Jesus, that this was the one. And there were the religious leaders that hated him for it. He bore witness of the light. Do you know that's what we're to do? Do you know, we're to be people who, in Matthew, Jesus said that we're to be as a church, a city on the hill. Not hidden, but on the hill, a city that is lit up, that a world can see. What do they see in us? What do they see in you? A light that shouldn't be hid, not covered up, but should shine. What do they see in us? Now, I'm not a Facebook junkie, but I have to admit I've been on it a little more recently. I don't read any posts. Every once in a while, Pam would be watching some video on. I said, where'd you get that? Oh, it's on Facebook. Well, how do you do that? So she showed me. And now I get on Facebook and I go through the videos and some funny stuff. And anyway. But recently, there was something posted, as Lonnie would say, on facelift. There was something on Facebook that was posted that, first of all, I got angry, then irritated, and then I decided to preach on it. It bothered me so much. Because you see, we're to be the light of the world. We're to be at the light of the world. People should see in us. And we're to make Jesus famous and tell people about Jesus and magnify to the world what he is really like, not how they view him. And sometimes they just view him, oh, he was a guy that existed many years ago. A guy, good teacher, you know, but that's all that he was. No. He was the Son of God who died for our sins. And the third day he was resurrected from the dead. And there is something in that that is, brings power of God that changes a person's life. And in fact, that scripture that I have in your notes in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jesus, when he was shedding the light in this world, there was a group of people that hated him. And those were the religious Christians, if I could put it that way. Those were the Jews who were living the moral life and were condemning anyone who wasn't living the moral life. And Jesus tells us, hey, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes, and the leaven, that's the yeast that gets in the dough, and it goes throughout the whole thing. And I tell you, the church needs to be careful in our condemnation of people. And I'll tell you what I saw on Facebook that just ticked me off. Are you ready? Be a bad time to have a heart attack. And not funny. So how many know, is your name Lauren Daigle? Anybody know Lauren Daigle? Yeah. So Lauren Daigle, who I love her songs, it has meat to them. So she goes on a show. What's her name? Ellen DeGeneres, who is a homosexual. Now, some of you are wondering, well, what am I going to say about this? Many of you know already because you know me. So she goes on there. And she sings this song. Just haven't played the song. Hey, can you bring that song up? It's called Still Rolling Stones or Rise Up. Can you pull that up? I don't know, we might get in trouble with copyright. They'll sue us and I'll have to go to jail, but I'll preach there. I'll preach there too. Did you find it on YouTube or anything? So you got it? Okay. So let me read until he gets it up there and we'll listen to it. Out of the shadows, bound the gallows, a dead man walking. Till love came calling, rise up, rise up. 6 feet under, I thought it was over. An answer to prayer, the voice of a Savior. rise up, rise up. All at once I came alive, this beating heart, these open eyes, the grave let go, the darkness should have known. You're still rolling, rolling, rolling. Now that you saved me, I sing that you gave me a song of revival. I put on a vinyl, rise up, rise up. I once was blinded, but now I see it. I heard about the power, and now I believe it. Rise up, rise, rise up. Are you ready? I'm not done. All at once, I came alive. This beating heart, these open eyes. The grave let go, the darkness should have known. Okay. Let's go ahead and watch this.
Out of the shadows, bound for the gallows, a dead man walking.
It's just
love came calling. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
6 feet under.
Okay, let's go ahead and cut it. I already gave you the words, and some of you are like me, you don't understand the words by listening. Old ears and all that stuff. And so, I watched her on that show. And then people, religious people, Christians who are supposed to be the light of the world begin to comment negative stuff because she was on Ellen DeGeneres' show. And a pastor's wife, not my wife, but a pastor's wife said something like, she is just as sinful as Ellen DeGeneres by being on that show. I tell you, it angered me. How are we going to be the light if we're hidden? If we come in secretly and we just do our thing here and that's it. Jesus said, beware of pastor wives like that. The Pharisee. That will put people down who will bring light to a world. Now, maybe this pastor's wife, trying to find excuses for her, oh, I almost said stupidity, but I don't want to say that. Oh, I did say it. You know, maybe she's concerned for Ellen, not for Ellen. You know, she's not concerned about Ellen. She doesn't like Ellen. But maybe she's concerned for Lauren Daigle that she'll be consumed by the darkness. Because we have seen that kind of thing. But I got to tell you, if that's true, then people were just immature, or maybe we're in darkness and just going through the routines of the religious people. But when you have Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ really saves you, there is something that happens to you that is different than anything else, any other religion, is you become alive. And He becomes alive in you. And the Bible calls it a new birth. It's not like following some rules and regulations, because you can't do it by your own will. In fact, in your notes there, and the bottom part, it says, Jesus gave us the right to become children of God who were born not of blood. Not of blood. You can't be a Christian by inheriting it from your parents. Each individual person has to come to a place to know Jesus Christ. And I pray for Lauren Daigle. I pray for her that she would shine so bright in that darkness. Because let me tell you, Hollywood is dark. Hollywood is dark and evil. And so we need people to shine in Hollywood. And may she do that, and maybe may she shine for Jesus Christ. But you can't come to this life in Jesus Christ where the light hits you by your parents. It was something that when my girls were growing up, I was so concerned about that, because the second level of a generation, they have less of God. Third level, even less of God, the third generation. And then they just seem to lose it out, lose altogether Jesus Christ. And so I prayed for them all the time. God, give them a heart for you. God, get them greater gifts than you've given me. And I believe that God has done that to them. I have to help along the way a little bit, but but you can't inherit it. It's not by blood. Then he says, it's not by the will of the flesh. You can't determine, well, I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to be a Christian by looking like a Christian. You can look like a Christian on the outside and not be a Christian. How many are here that are, that's true? Yeah, a few of you. I didn't mean to raise your hand. I was just, I mean, you can go to church and you can do the acts that Christians do. I mean, in our nation years ago, everyone was moral, it seemed to be. Everyone, you know, were good. But that didn't make you a Christian. It is not by a determination of doing morality that you're going to gain some type of place with Jesus Christ or some type of place with God. But it's a born-again experience. And it's not by the will of man, he says. It's not by someone else saying, hey, if I do this for you, then you're Christian. If I put some water in there and I take you and then I dunk you and I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, then you're a Christian. No, that doesn't make a Christian. That doesn't make a Christian. So it's not by blood, it's not by the flesh, and it's not of the will of man, but it's of God, a new birth. And that's how it's portrayed. There's something that happens in you that begins to change you, and you become like a little baby. You that haven't been saved very long, you need to listen to older Christians, unless they're big babies. And you can tell big babies, they do big poo-poos. Little babies, oh, look, he did a poo-poo. When big babies do poo-poos, oh, someone clean that up. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about. That pastor's wife did a big poo-poo. That's a big one. And that stinks to the nostrils of God. And I tell you what, we ought to be smarter than that. We need to pray for someone like Lauren Daigle, that she'll go and shine for Jesus Christ and be a witness for Jesus. Now, I've seen Christians that have been in Hollywood and they don't shine very good. And I don't even know if they really have the born-again experience. I don't know. I don't know those things. But I know this. That were to be a light. That pastor's wife was not a light. That was just ugly. That just stinks. And it angered me. Now I had to repent on my anger, because don't even become angry with your brother or sister. I haven't repented yet of it, but I'm working toward that. We need to be patient with each other because we start as a baby. It might seem to some people when they you know, Kent, how long have you been saved? Very long, Kent. Listen to me, not to your wife. Yeah, how long have you been? I'm sorry. Kent, how long have you been saved? A couple years, 3 years? Huh? Oh, my. Time flies. So Ken is 8 years old. But he looks a lot older than that. Just how he cares. And I'm talking about spiritually, just how he carries himself. But you've got a lot of learning to do. And you need to make sure that you submit to your wife. No? The Bible says, I submit one to another. It says that. We need to help each other and be patient with each other because we're growing up. We're babies. Some of us are teenagers and a little, you know what teenagers are? They know it all. They think they know it all, and so you can't tell them what to do. We have some teenagers here, spiritual teenagers, and you be patient with them. Just pray for them. And you will pray that they get some mentors to help them along their way. We need to be a people that shine for Jesus Christ. And how do you shine? How do you shine for Jesus Christ? What is the thing when he says that we're a light, a city on a hill? What is he talking about that we're light of the world? The fruit of the Spirit, I believe, that people see in us something that is different. People who are in ESV, it says you're sober in spirit, and what that means that you're calm in your spirit, that you're not when something goes haywire, you don't get all excited and emotional, and you begin to get frustrated and angry like I was about this gal. You don't do that. But you're sober, or you're calm in your spirit, and Peter, when he said that. The early church was going through a lot of suffering and they were being abused and killed. And he says, okay, be sober, be calm in your spirit. Don't give in to the fear that is coming and those things, but have your faith in Jesus Christ and your trust in Jesus Christ. And we need to grow up that where we're in bad situations in the world and everyone else is panicking and angry and frustrated, we're calm and we live in the Spirit. And we have a love and a joy and a peace and a self-control. That sober in spirit, that calm in the spirit. That they'll see something that in us that these people, these Christians don't overreact to situations, but they respond to needs. And you know what I mean by that? Why does a guy blow his temper? Because he feels in some way that he's lost something. Whether it's time, someone pulls in front of him and he lost his peace, and so he's angry at the other guy. And instead of getting mad at that guy for blowing up, we try to help him in whatever he's lost. If he's lost the peace, we help calm him down. We give him peace. We stand beside them. A world that is lost. And the whole time, and with our brothers and sisters, and the whole time witnessing, bearing witness of the light, Jesus Christ, to a world that's lost. And here's what I believe. Worship team, come on up. Every one of us that are true believers, now you listen to this. Every one of us that are true believers, once you grow up a little bit, you're going to want to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not doing that, then you're probably a teenager in your spiritual walk, or maybe still a baby, because you're still concerned about yourself and your way and things instead of looking out to other people. But I believe that as you begin to grow in the Lord, that you will become a light to a world, and you'll be witnessing to a world that is lost. That is something that is in the Christian's DNA. Jesus said when he called the disciples, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You used to do this, but I'm going to make you something different. Now, these were unlearned guys. These were guys that they didn't have any college education. But Jesus changed their whole life because they became born again. They had a new birth, and the Spirit of God came in them. And they began to grow rapidly in God. And they had some things along the way that were trouble for them, but they grew rapidly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they became strong in God. And they're a witness for Jesus Christ. In the worst kind of situations, they had the fruit of the Spirit. They were calm in their spirit. And they were willing to shine for Jesus Christ. Are you going to do that? Well, listen. We need to shine for Jesus. Don't be putting people down. Don't be negative about life. Don't be like your pastor. Be someone who is a light to a world. That doesn't mean you're condoning evil. It means you're going to bring light into darkness, that evil may flee. Let's stand and sing. I was there. I was just smarter than her and didn't say things like that. But my heart was there. So how can I be mean toward her? I'd be being mean toward myself. I need to love her and to pray for her. I'm pointing at my wife. It wasn't her. I need to love her and to pray for her. So we're going to do that. But first, Lord, forgive me. And I pray for that lady that posted that, that the light might come on in her heart, that she might see in herself the evil and the darkness that's in her heart, that Jesus might come and illuminate her, that she might have that love, joy, and peace, and that she might care for someone like Helen DeGeneres who needs to know you, and that she might have a heart for the lost, that she could be a light to them and a witness of Jesus Christ shining into the lives of people. Lord, do that in her and do that in me. And I thank you in Jesus' name.